For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Craybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Hour number two of the show, John Mozeliak will join us at 11:30, Lutz Fan and Steel. Before that, at 11:15, hope that you and your family are having a wonderful day. And if you're celebrating Easter, that you're having a fantastic day. We had a good celebration this morning, and we'll continue it later today. Hope your kids, if you have little ones out there, or the older ones out there hunting for Easter eggs, that they're having a good morning as well and enjoying this great part of our year and our season. Speaking of eggs, Cardinals have been shut out twice in the last week. Shut out for the second time this season. Yesterday, they fell 3-0 to the Mets. First time the Cardinals were shut out at Citi Field since 2015. It had been 10 years. Jacob deGrom got them that day with 8 strong innings. The Cardinals had scored at least once in each of their previous 29 games in Queens, dating back to July 26, 2016, the longest active such streak by a visiting team and the 8th longest such streak by a visiting ball club since the park opened. The Mets, with that note, handing that over to the Cardinals in their game notes today. I found that interesting. All right, Sonny Gray, it's time for you to put a stop to all of this. The Mets are going to try to sweep the Cardinals today, but he's 4-0 against the Mets, Gray is, with 4 starts. 2 of those at Citi Field, by the way. So it's up to Sonny to put an end to all this today. Get a win for the Cardinals so they can get out of there feeling a little bit better about themselves before they take on the Braves this week. Had a terrific Thursday at the Missouri Athletic Club at the USBWA Awards. I mean, what an absolute thrill for all of us to be in the same room with Dick Vitale. He sounded great. He looked great. He admitted it's hard for him to get around because the chemo and treatments took so much out of him. But, man, did he look good and sounded so good and gave this wonderful speech accepting the Dean Smith Award on Thursday night that I think you can go on YouTube and watch. The MAC should have that up by now, and he was fantastic. Just the way that he makes everybody in the room feel good. And I really think that's Dick Vitale's secret to life, is that he makes people feel good about themselves and what they are doing. He went to everybody. You are doing a great job. You've done great. This looks great. And he called everybody out by name in his speech. He remembered what everybody's role was and what they did to put the dinner together and how he felt so welcomed here in St. Louis, receiving that award for not only what he's done for college basketball, but raising over $90 million, closing in on $100 million for cancer research in the V Foundation. So Missouri Athletic Club was a great day. We had Dick Vitale. We had LaFonso Ellis, we had Chris Carwell, two members of St. Louis basketball royalty, part of the festivities. And we had Ann Myers Drysdale, one of the greatest players in women's history. And we also, I think, have something going on in this state of Missouri in terms of women's sports that should be recognized and it will be right now on this show. That is historic what the Mizzou gymnastics team did yesterday, finishing third at the NCAA championships in Fort Worth, Texas. That is not only the best finish in program history, that is the best postseason finish for any women's team in Mizzou history. Their first appearance in the national championship, a third-place finish. The previous school best by any MU women's team was the gymnastics team in 22, ranking fifth. Oklahoma won the national title yesterday, followed by UCLA and then Mizzou. So congratulations to the Tigers gymnastics team for his historic day, and hope that means great things moving forward. They sell season tickets, by the way, to Mizzou gymnastics. So if you're near Columbia or if you want to head out there, that's a great time to take the kids and enjoy a great sport. So congratulations to them. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Lutz Pfannenstiel. He will be calling in, as he always does on these Sunday mornings, and we'll talk about yesterday's scoreless draw between City and Vancouver. By the way, the Battlehawks lost yesterday. Jeez, Cards, Blues, Battlehawks. Battlehawks lost 30-15 to Arlington. We talked about that earlier on Total Information AM. First time they've lost back-to-back games. They got to get it going, Drew. They got to get to that championship game in June at the Dome. When we come back, Lutz joining us. Sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Now, back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning on 104.1 KMOX. From the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
We are indeed here, and a big happy Easter to our family at St. Louis City SC. We are partners with them, as we are with the Cardinals and St. Louis University and the Kansas City Chiefs, and it is a thrill always to have City on Y98 FM. Joining us is the sporting director, Lutz Pfannenstiel. Lutz, happy Easter to everyone at City.
Yeah, happy Easter to you as well. Did you see any bunnies somewhere?
You know what? I saw one last night hopping around. I wondered, the dogs didn't see him, though, but they would be chasing him. I guess he was just doing some scouting, just kind of see what our property looked like.
All right, sounds good.
You know, they do what they can. What did you think of last night? I mean, my impression was that was a hard-working team that you had out there, that they were, I thought, well-organized, and they did what they do. They defended, just unable to score.
Yeah, I think, we played against Vancouver at the moment, number one, not just in the West, but overall. I think we played a decent game. Also, Henry Kessler also got hurt on Friday, so the injury crisis carry on. We had seven starters out. They had one of their top players out. So put all that in perspective, I think we really played our hearts out. We played well enough to win the game. We created enough chances. And, I'm not a big moaner, but if you know that the second week in a row in a home game getting taken an offside goal away, which was more than just questionable, it's getting annoying, to be honest.
I understand. And I was there. I was at that game prior, and that one really hurt. How did you evaluate that one? Look, I know that, we're all human beings here and officials make calls, but was one worse than the other, or they both hurt the same?
I mean, they both were bad, but I mean, the one last week, I think, was just a very wrong and bad decision. This time, it was more like how is the interpretation of the referees? And that was exactly what we were also told after the game. In my opinion, there was a passive offside position of Conrad Wollum. The pass was not even directed to Conrad Wollum. It was came from the Vancouver player. But this is exactly the moment when you look at it, and the referee has that opportunity to decide whatever he feels like in this moment. And that's just, I would say, very unfortunate. It happens twice in a row. I personally thought it was a wrong decision, but again, it's the one which you can debate about. What is the rule? If the referees don't know exactly how to use the rulings, then we having a problem here, because normally offside, yes or no, that's pretty much the easiest decision you can take. Yeah, so it's upsetting. I think it was a perfect moment. It was a great finish by Marcel Hartl. I think we really would have used the momentum and we would have been in a good position to win this game. But yeah, it is what it is right now. No point to keep on crying about it. I'm a believer that these decisions, they kind of level out during the season. Unfortunately, last year it was not the case, and this year it doesn't look like it either. But up to the next one and work hard in training. You said it perfectly right. I think we were well organized. I think we defended well as a unit, and we had chances to win. It's just now to reward ourselves with 3 points.
Yes, and you know, you are building something here, and you mentioned Vancouver. I mean, they're the best team in Major League Soccer right now, 20 points. You're sitting there with 9, 2 wins, 4 losses, 3 draws, a scoreless 0-0 game yesterday against Vancouver, a team that is big defensively. And that's the other frustrating thing, is you got your goal against a team that is very, very good defensively. Did you try to attack them even more? Do you still feel like this offensive mindset is improving?
Yesterday, for sure. I think you saw a big improvement at the game last week, and you were there. I think we all had good moments with enough chances. Yesterday, I think also the possession was very decent. The numbers of chances and all the half chances we had were there. So I think we definitely improved on our offensive setup, on our offensive game. And, you know, step by step now. We have two very difficult away games coming up. Again, we're getting slowly our players back into availability, or even being able to start, hopefully, two guys from which are out, and then we just have to move on. It hurts us that our probably top performer, who played every single minute this season, Henry Kessler, got a muscle injury on Friday, on the match day minus one. That hurts, but, you know, the boys stepped up. I think Timo Baumgartl played really good yesterday. Carl Hibbert and Diarro in the center, as two center backs, did a good job as well. So it was a good team effort, and that's what team sports is about. There must be somebody else who comes in, fills that role, and does well. And I think that's what the boys did.
That's a hamstring for Kessler, is it? That could be a while.
You know, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but obviously we have good conversations about it. Usually a hamstring is 3-4 weeks. You know, that's what we always normally have to look at, and let's see if it will be also with him. I mean, I'm positive. He heals well. He's very professional when it comes to looking after himself. So let's hope to get Henry back as soon as possible as well. Roman Bürki is not too far away from being 100%. So they're coming back now. And I think this is the most important thing, that all the players who were out for a longer time now, like Jay Reid, which gives us a lot of speed on the left side, is in a very good point right now to come back soon. So slowly they're coming back, but you know, we just have to make sure there is no more hitting us in that department in the weeks to come.
It was nice to see Josh Yarrow out there after he took that shot in that previous game, wasn't it? He was out there. He played pretty well, didn't he?
He played well. I mean, you know, we knew already after 10 minutes that he was not concussed. It was just one of the league rules with the concussion protocol. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were aware that he's able to play and train normal during the week. But, you know, again, when it comes to any concussion issues, I think we just have to follow the rule and follow them proudly, because this is very important. You do not want to take any risk on the player's health. And if that is that a player has just anything suspected when it comes to that kind of injury, then they have to come off. They follow the protocol. It's very strict and very well organized here in the States, much better than in Europe when it comes to that. And I think it's a very, very good part of sports medicine in the United States.
I agree. I was with some investors in the Washington Spirit at your game a couple of weeks ago, two games ago, and one of them is close with Josh, kind of a mentor to him in a lot of ways, both Georgetown University. But back to Washington, they were just so impressed with the entire operation, the stadium. They could not stop talking about the stadium and how nice it is, and everybody was so kind to them. There is a lot of buzz about your team, isn't there, in the soccer world right now? I mean, I don't hear people say a bad thing about what St. Louis City SC is doing and building.
No, I mean, there's always a few guys out there who know everything better. You know, I mean, that's That's part of the game. But I think looking at the infrastructure we built in that short term, also looking again now, I have to say that from last week, you know, our U16 team that beat Bayern Munich on penalties in a tournament in Florida, which is one of the best under-16 teams actually in the world, to have that, see what's not just happening in the first team, but also outside the first team. It's pretty good. So I think we still get a lot of love. But as you know, sports is always, it's about results in the end of the day, and you need to win games, then people will love you even more. And it's great to have a nice stadium. It's great to have a brilliant tennis facility. It's also very positive to have good players, but you need to win games to make people happy. And that is, in the end of the day, sports is about winning. You want to win every game, and that's what we want to do. And we have goals, and we have a clear idea of what we want to achieve this season, and that is what we have to work for. So it's, as I said, nice to have, but it's important to have more wins than just talking about how beautiful our stadium is.
I understand that. You and I are definitely aligned on that. I appreciate this as always. Have a wonderful rest of your Easter Sunday, and thank you for being with us on KMOX's Sports on a Sunday Morning, Lutz.
Always a pleasure, Tom.
Great to visit with Lutz Fahnensteel, the sporting director for St. Louis City SC. We'll take a break. John Mozeliak is going to join us live. The Cardinals take on the Mets with a pregame at 11:45. Mo wraps up the show right after this.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Cardinal baseball coming your way in a matter of minutes. 11:45 pregame from Citi Field in New York. 12:40 is the first pitch today. And joining us, as he does every Sunday, it's always a pleasure to be joined by the president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak. Mo, happy Easter to you and your family.
Well, thank you. Happy Easter to you as well. Here we are. Obviously, the road has been a difficult place for the St. Louis Cardinals this year, and hopefully today we can change that direction. But in a lot of baseball games, but unfortunately not able to get that big hit last couple days, And it's been a tough road to hoe right now.
It really has. 8-4 at home, 1-8 on the road. I can't really explain that, except that you have faced some good competition, especially on the pitching side. And then secondly, you know, maybe it's just unable to come through offensively in a road environment. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Well, I don't think it's not necessarily where you play, but currently when we are on the road, we just haven't been able to really kind of break through offensively and separate ourselves. So there's been a couple games that, you know, we obviously had chances to win that we didn't. And, you know, unfortunately, we do play 81 of them on the road. So we got to figure out how to start winning and, still think this team has the ability to do so. But, yeah, it's not been the first two road trips as we envisioned.
And it's a shame because Matthew Liberatore was so good, and that's a good thing. I mean, Matthew Liberatore looks so confident. I just can't say enough about him. What a terrific outing he had yesterday, I thought.
Well, I definitely think, and I think we've talked about him, even back in late spring when, as I mentioned, he really had a productive offseason and added more muscle. I think he addressed some dietary issues. And then came in really focused. And, at one point early in spring training, we really felt like he was going to be in our bullpen, but just as dominant as he was in camp, and obviously that's transferred over the regular season, you see why he's in the rotation. And, I think his future is really bright. And that's really good news for the Cardinals.
And then, Friday was a tough one. That's just a really, really tough one. Any walk-off is tough. But you had Miles Michaelis look so good early. He gets pulled in the fifth. You have to go to the bullpen. Donnie hits that home run to tie the game, and then Fernandez gives it up to Lindor. I mean, that's kind of a recap for me of what happened, but how did you see that going down? What did you see in that ballgame?
Well, I think, unfortunately, even prior to getting to that Donnie home run, we just weren't able to push across a run that was able to separate ourselves. And, when we talk about big hits, Donnie's hit was huge, right? He tied the game, but you need those kind of hits that gives you actually the lead and puts you ahead. And, it's tough navigating a lineup like the Mets have. There's no doubt that they're you know, 3, 4, and 5 hitters, or 2, 3, and 4, 5 hitters are really good. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, Fernandez gave one up. But, you know, I think it really comes down to what we talked about in spring, early in the season. It's like, are we going to have the ability to score, to separate ourselves? And if we do that, I think, you know, we're obviously going to be a very competitive club, but we just haven't consistently been able to do that as of yet.
Yeah, walk 5 times yesterday, can't get any of them to cross the plate. Cardinals get blanked. Now Sonny Gray takes the mound, and also keeping an eye on Mason Wynn. Maybe, you know, Mason can come back with a more lively bat and can help you. Hits 2 bombs yesterday for Memphis.
Yeah, that was good to see. You know, we'll see how he feels, today, and then ultimately we have to make a decision Tuesday. But hopefully there's no setbacks as he plays in Memphis, and he'll join the club if all goes well today.
And then the Sejacy question comes up for me. You know, I just I don't know. I don't know what you do. I mean, he's what a bat he has. What a bat. You know.
Well, you know, I think back to like when we acquired him. That was the part that really attracted us, was just his offensive upside. You know, I do think he's distinguished himself fairly well at short. You know, we're not trying to say he's, you know, better than Mason Wynn there, but, you know, you look at his offensive production and what he's able to do, and the fact that he can move around is pretty helpful. So, yeah, we're going to have a tough decision at some point, but the good news is we don't have to make it today.
Any news on Herrera? Is he coming back anytime soon?
Yeah, he's progressing. I think, you know, from where we were a week ago to where we are today, I feel a lot better about it. I can tell you that. So he's definitely taking strides. I think today he's going to face, you know, like real pitching off a machine here in St. Louis, obviously indoors. But depending on how these things go over the next week or so, it'll determine like when we can send him out for rehab. So, you know, fingers crossed, this may move a little bit faster than we anticipated.
Where did you get Pozo? How did you find Pozo? What a player he actually has become. I thought he caught a good game, and even though he didn't have a hit yesterday, we know he has some pop in that bat.
Yeah, a couple things. He was available late January. John Vooch, as you know, works with me, and you know, he asked if we should do this. I said yes, it might make sense for us to add more depth. Then in camp, just the way things were shaking out with some of the original 6-year free agent catchers, you know, we were kind of looking at the market, what might be out there. And then Vucci said to me, hey, we may want to consider bringing Pozo into big league camp. So we did. In a lot of ways, the rest is history. Obviously, he distinguished himself fairly well in camp, which was good, especially from the defensive side in terms of the way he could catch and throw. And then, you know, subsequently, we felt like we had some protection should we lose a catcher. And obviously, when Herrera went down, we gave this young man a chance. And it is a kind of an incredible story about how he was homeless at one point, living in and out of a car. But to be up here and making the most of it, it's really, you know, good to see and fun to see. So he's making the most of it.
He is, for sure. Last quick thing is that, you know, if you could get Alec Burleson going. You know, I mean, there's a lot of ifs, if you could, but Alec Burleson's one of those big middle of the order bats. I chatted with him before the game, that day game, and he said, you know, he's still trying to figure it out, how to get that barrel on it more. But if he can get going, who knows?
Well, I think you could say that a lot about a few hitters now, right? Like, I think when you're going through stretches where you're not putting up crooked numbers or scoring to the point where you're winning games, it tends to be where you look at the lineup and where could you get more production. Obviously, Walker hasn't been as consistent as he was when we started the season. Nolan Gorman, you know, missed time with the injury and just hasn't really got it going since then. I think when you watch the game, one of the things you have to look at is, you know, are you having productive outs? Are you able to move a runner 90 feet? Are you able to get that runner in from third with less than 2 outs? It's things like that. And when you're losing, some of those things just aren't happening. And, you know, we still think this group has some upside. We got to believe in it. And if we want to be true to our word, we have to give them some patience and see if they can work through some things.
They will attack Clay Holmes. He's the starter for the Mets. Sonny Gray for the Cardinals. We have the game pregame in about 6 minutes. John Mozeliak, have a great Easter, and thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Thank you, Tommy.
It is coming up on 11:40 where we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Joe Pott will join us for our pregame. After the game, I believe Rachel Zimmerman, her show, which aired yesterday, and she interviewed me, which I really appreciate. It was nice of her to ask. And if you care to listen, I get into some of the background of what goes on behind the scenes at KMOX and thoughts on broadcasting and just life in general. It is fun. I really like Rachel and the DGS. They do a good job over there. So thanks to her if you want to catch that after the game. Happy Easter. And Joe Pott is next on KMOX.